proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. Our attention has been focused on the servant of God as described in the book of Isaiah, the end of chapter 52 and the duration, the fullness of chapter 53. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, we learn that the servant suffered griefs and sorrows, not because of his own transgressions, but because of the sins of others. We now come to Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, which explains why the servant suffered these problems. Isaiah said that, quote, "He was wounded for our transgressions," unquote. As he did in previous verses, the prophet employed two pronouns, the third person he and the first person are. The word he cannot apply to the Jewish nation. If it did, Isaiah might have written as follows: "We were wounded for our transgressions," a statement that would be a simple tautology and not teaching substitutionary atonement. Let's look at the word translated as wounded, halal. The use of that verb implied that God's servant experienced degrees of defilement. Such desecration, when connected with Jesus Christ's sufferings, had its physical and metaphysical aspects. His ill treatment in the high priest's palace, coupled with the scourging that the Roman government gave him, his treatment degraded him bodily. Yet the more extensive wounding of the Savior took place when he hung on the cross of Calvary, taking upon himself the sins of the world. Isaiah wrote that the servant, quote, "was bruised for our iniquities," unquote. The Hebrew verb daka, translated as bruised, implied that the servant's suffering involved not only physical torment, but humiliation as well. In the remaining hours of his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ certainly underwent such mortification. His Jewish adversaries in the high priest's house spat in his face and physically battered him. His Roman captors placed the crown of thorns upon his brow, ridiculing him by crying out, "Hail, King of the Jews." As the writer of Hebrews stated, the Savior, quote, "endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Isaiah wrote that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, that is, God's servant. The servant, in a sense, functioned as a whipping boy, taking the punishment that others deserve to receive. Some Jewish writers have posited that God utilizes Jewish suffering as a means of atoning for the sins of the world. That is to say, that every time the Jewish people suffer, it is in some sense making an atonement for the sins of the Gentile world. If that were the case, though, Jews ought to embrace their sufferings rather than bewail them. If that were the case, the Holocaust ought to receive Jewish commendation instead of condemnation, considering all the misery the Jewish people went through during the Holocaust. Yet most Jews consider the Holocaust a major tragedy for the Jewish people, and quite properly so. In Ezekiel chapter 18, God decreed that, quote, "the soul that sinneth, it shall die," unquote. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, though, God the Father, in Paul's words, quote, "hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin," unquote. Isaiah then concluded that with his stripes we are healed. These words don't suggest that God's servants and his sufferings provided therapeutic relief for human ailments. Instead, the healing was spiritual in nature, restoring sinners unto God's favor. And, as Paul put it, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.